First, I'd like to make sure I congratulate our women's volleyball team, Big 12 champions and number one seed. And I hope all the people go out and support Friday night and Saturday, depending on when things are around our game. Hopefully they come watch us too. But if not, go watch them. So Coach McGuire's is a great coach. And you know what? One of the great things about being here is you have a chance to be around all the student athletes. And I see those young women, young ladies train. I see them come back from injury. I see them grind, as do all of our sports. And so what a great place to be, what a great time to be at, you know, great time to be at Baylor. And hopefully we can do our part on Saturday to contribute to the championship culture that is here, both on and off the field. I'd like to talk about the season first, and because I think, you know, I always have a what's next mentality, but it is the end of the season. And so I just am tremendously grateful to our staff, to the support staff, and to our players for their work and their trust, and they're just not just living the process, but defending the process and staying focused. I think what they've done the last 2 weeks is amazing. To lose that game against Oklahoma in the way that they did, and to come back and bounce back the way that they did, and, you know, go out the next week and play such a complete game against Texas, and then to practice last week with no students on campus, and to deal with Thanksgiving, to go home and have everyone back and go up and to play a Kansas team that was beating Iowa State the week before with 3 minutes left in the game, and to play that well complete of a game, I thought was awesome. And I just thought it showed amazing maturity and focus, and just a team, you know. And so I'm very proud to be the coach of those young men. And, you know, I think it's the first time in Power 5 history a team's ever gone from 1-11 to 11-1 in 2 years. And it's not even just the guys that are here now. It's all the people, so staff and players along the way that enabled us to get to this point. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. I just want to make sure I say this, and it's a little awkward because he's in the room, but I don't know that, you know, I get a lot of credit and I don't do very much. You know, I'm the head coach. Like, Coach Snow does the defense and Jeff and those guys do the offense. I just kind of stand up front and answer your questions and make decisions here and there. But none of this is possible without Mac Rhodes. And it really hit me last night. I'm seeing guys get fired after, you know, 2 years and 3 years, and I'm seeing upheaval at places, and every place is different. I'm not here to comment about those things. But for the football coaches out there, you better find yourself an AD that you believe in, and you better find someone that's in it with you. And that's the difference about our place. I mean, we have a deputy AD here, I don't know what the terms are, Jeremiah Dickey, that, like, I call at 2 o'clock in the morning, picks up the phone. We have an AD and Mac Rhodes. It's Wednesday of Thanksgiving. There's not a person on campus, and he's out there watching practice. Now, he's in the corners room asking our corners, you know, where are you going for Thanksgiving? Our players know him by name. There's not many places where the players know the AD by name, or the deputy AD, or the senior women's administrator. I mean, they know our people. And so I'm just so grateful for that part of this. And that's why this getting to 11-1 and going to the conference championship game means a lot to me, because there's so many people that believed when it was hard to believe, and there's so many people that have supported us all along the way. And so I just want to make sure I say that I'm grateful for all those people, and that's why we are where we are. Now, we have an opportunity to play this week, and play against a great team in Oklahoma. And as I told our guys, man, let's not make this about the Big 12 championship. Let's not make this about the college football playoff. Let's not make this about a ranking. Let's not even make this about Oklahoma. They're a great team. Or a rematch. Let's just make it about us. Let's try to go 1-0 this week, just like we did all year, and see what we do. So we're going to go out there and play our best game against a great team in a cool atmosphere and see what happens. And so I'm excited. You know, I've been a head coach for 7 years. And when I say I, that's Phil Snow, Mike Sorava. We've all been together for 7 years. It's our third championship game in 7 years. And to me, that shows a lot of kids who have bought in and gotten to this point. And so hopefully we can go play our best game and see what happens. So that was long. I'm sorry, but appreciate you guys allow me to thank those people.
Matt, do you just focus solely on OU, or do you even mention the CFP to the players?
I don't. You know, I mean, I think you probably know me enough to know I don't say those things. We haven't had a lot of success when we've talked about, hey, if we do this, we get this. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't had a lot of success. Like, last year I did that, and we played really tight against Iowa State and TCU. So we played way better when it's been, like, let's just go play. And here's what's special about our players. I think we have – it's the most competitive group of young people I've ever been around. I'll probably start getting a bunch of calls from former players now, but saying, what about me, coach? But like if, literally, if at the end of a practice I said, I'm not sure who's faster, Taekwon or Boogie, they would literally race for like an hour. And then, but then Fleeks would say, no, I'm faster. And then Gleason would say, well, wait a minute, I ran this. And then they would be out there racing, I mean, for like an hour. Bravion, you know, would probably say, I'm the fastest guy over 300. I mean, it's amazing the competitive nature of our guys. So what I've found works with our players is just to say, hey, let's go compete. Like, to go to Kansas and play in that weather, and there weren't very many people in the stands. It was less people maybe than Rice. And I mean, just because of Thanksgiving or whatever, I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way. And our guys went out and competed. And then in the fourth quarter, like, that defense wanted a fourth quarter shutout. Like, I literally, like, Jay Will was screaming at the guys that were out there playing, and we finally stopped them at the two and got the fourth quarter shutout. Just a competitive group. So to me, when I start talking about CFP and da-da-da-da, it becomes a whole bunch of other stuff, right? When I just say, let's go play, man, we got a special group of kids when we do that.
Matt, that first game against Oklahoma, Perkins, I think, had three sacks for them. That was really tough to stop. How important will it be neutralizing him and then obviously just avoiding negative play?
Yeah, a couple of those were quarterback draws, you know, so we're kind of running Charlie anyway. But Perkins is a great player, and Gallimore is a great player, and Kenneth Murray is a great player. And they do a lot on defense. I mean, they stem and they move. So their defense is built to create negative plays. And so, you know, really the story of that game was we played really well on offense in the first half and then just kind of couldn't make a play in the second half. Even that first, you know, long run, you know, we fumbled on and just couldn't quite catch a ball on third down. So, to me, I think we're going to – they'll make some negative plays because they're built to do that. So, you know, we won't try to neutralize them, don't get me wrong. But to me, it's about us creating explosive plays. And, you know, we understand that Coach Grinch is a really good defensive coordinator. Like, they move and they stunt and they blitz and they pressure. So we've got to get the ball to our best players and let them go make some plays. And that's when we're at our best, you know, when we just kind of isolate some guys and get them the ball. And then we have to find the semblance of a run game. I mean, they are built to take away the run game and make you through it. We threw it pretty well the first game. We just have to have some runs to go along with that.
You talked about, you know, not looking back too much, but have you thought about just the symmetry of 2 years ago ending the season in DFW? You guys were talking about we're going to a bowl next year, we're going to a bowl next year. Now you're back here 2 years later in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of those parallels and storylines, you know, and we're staying at the Omni Fort Worth. I mean, it's like the fourth time in 3 years we're staying there. You know, TCU twice, AT&T twice. So TCU this year, I think we said to stay somewhere else, though, right? So, I mean, there's a lot. You know, we're kind of familiar with the drive. Like I said to Sean, like I said, are we going to Heart 8 Barbecue, please? Yes, we're going to. That's all set up. We're going to that same movie theater? Yes. So it's a place we're familiar with. But OU's familiar with it, too. They've been in this game 3 years in a row. So this is their third year. So, you know, I talk about those things just to make sure our players learn the lessons of them. You know, like, and not really our older players. Their lessons have been learned. It's the young players. Like, I expect us to come back to this game at some point. Hopefully next year. If not next year, the year after. We're going to battle to come back to this game year in and year out. And so, really, I'm trying to teach the young guys in the room, hey, this is what it takes to get back here, and this is the focus you have to have, and here's how you have to handle Thanksgiving. And so, you know, hopefully this is just the start of many successful, you know, attempts at this game.
Matt, I would think that the best recruiting is the fact you're playing Saturday and all the attention, but how do you handle when you normally would be on the road at this particular time? You'd rather be playing in a game, but how has that affected recruiting, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, all the other staffs in the country are on the road recruiting today. They're in houses, and we're not. So that puts us, maybe us in Oklahoma, a little bit behind. I think our recruits know why we're not there. You know, I mean, luckily we had two huge home games at the end of the season, you know, where a lot of our recruits were able to come that weren't still in the playoffs. So I think the young people that are thinking about Baylor or committed to Baylor understand two things. Number one, that we have things going in the right direction, you know, both academically, athletically, and socially. And then number two, they know, like, see, we're not, like, we don't recruit like a lot of other people. Like I don't spend all night on the phone with recruits. I spend time with my players that are here, you know. And so sometimes in recruiting, people want to go to a logo, or sometimes they want to go to the coach that shows them the most love, right? And it's like, my son is having a procedure done today, okay? So he went up to Cook's Children's Hospital. Not a big deal, like little thing, right? But my wife and I were trying to figure out what to do with our son, like I didn't send him to the doctor that had the, you know, showed him the most love. I didn't send him to the doctor with the coolest looking hospital building. I sent him to the best. I sent him to the doctor that was the best. And I think what recruits will find out about us is, if you come here, you're going to get our best. We are going to develop you and take care of you and grow you and help you and have your back when things go wrong. We are loyalty above everything else. And so we're not maybe as flashy or swaggy as some other guys, but we are family over everything. And so recruits that are committed to us right now, I think they feel part of the family. And I think that they recognize, like, man, if I go there, it's a business decision. Like, if I go there and I go play for Coach Snow, I go play for Glenn Thomas, I'm going to get a great education. I'm going to get pushed outside my comfort zone. I'm going to come back different than when I left. That's a big, I mean, I see kids go off to colleges and they come back 4 years later. They're the same guy. Like, you don't come here and go back home the same as you were. You go back better. And then I'm going to be a really good football player and have a chance to play. I said when I got here, we'll have a chance to play for championships. You're going to get developed into a pro. You watch how many guys we have playing All-Star games this year. We have how many guys we go to the combine this year. You watch how many guys get drafted this year. And none of them, except for maybe one or two, were on many radars. And so that's the biggest recruiting we can do is that. It takes time for people to see that. But you know what? When you realize that you have one shot at going to college and picking the right college and getting developed, you better go to the person that has the best credentials and can do it the best. There's a lot of great schools out there. This isn't for everyone, but if you come here, man, it's gonna be a great opportunity for you.
Matt, how different is OU's offense with CeeDee Lamb there?
It's the same offense. They got great players after great players after great players. I mean, and it's a great offense, and they got a great offensive coordinator and Coach Riley. They got a great offensive line coach and Bill Bedenbaugh. I mean, they turned over their offensive line, and they're right back where they were. I mean. So they do what they do. Now, CeeDee Lamb is one of the best players in college football. He's a future, you know, star in the NFL. But, you know, Charleston Rambo is really good too, you know, and a bunch of them are really good. So, to me, it's not about just one guy. It's about they have a well-thought-out offense with a great offensive line, with great backs, great receivers, great tight ends, and they play a lot of people, you know. Like, they're not a tempo team. They change personnel every play. They are as pro – Lincoln Riley is running the most NFL-style offense in the world. He's running the most pro-style offense. I took this job, and everybody's worried about my offense at Temple. He's running what I did at Temple. I'm running something different, and I love what we're doing. I just think I love what Lincoln's doing because he takes the players he has, and he says, how can I be successful with these guys? And he puts together an offense, and he gets everyone involved, and they're tremendously hard to defend because the ball could be there. The ball could be – I mean, he's doing a great job. And they play with a nastiness that I really like. I mean, those offensive linemen at Oklahoma, they're going to grab you and throw you on the ground and hit you and hold you down and get back up and then do it again the next play. They're a tough, tough, tough group. And so I think CD is an amazing football player, great run after the catch. But they have a bunch of guys that can play. So you can't just say, oh, we're going to take him away. This guy will eat you alive. We just got to go out and play our defense. I mean, we're not going to be able to invent something new this week, you know, and we're going to go out and play our defense and just try to play it better than we did last time. And I'm pretty sure they're going to come out and run their offense. And, you know, he'll maybe have some wrinkles. Maybe Phil will have some wrinkles. I don't know. But I think everyone will probably just do what they do and let the players go settle it on the field.
Have you ever had a situation where you played a rematch this quickly after the first time? And is there any advantages, disadvantages?
Just in the NFL, you know, we play, you know, when I was at the Giants, we'd play the Cowboys twice. You know, we play the Eagles twice. We play the Redskins twice. But that's really it. Both years I was in the championship game at Temple, we played teams from the other side that we hadn't played that year. And so I've never had this, you know, rematch other than being in the NFL.
How different is a week of preparation when you've already seen a team once?
That's a great question. I think, you know, we're creatures of habit. We go right back through the same exact process, you know. We just kind of factor this game in. But we still watch last year's game, you know. And so I think, there's some – obviously they played Oklahoma State. They played TCU. We've had some other games. But I think for us, we just go right back through our same exact process and, you know, came in on Sunday. Maybe we didn't quite pay as much attention to the Kansas game. You know, it was kind of like, hey, let's move on to the game, guys. But other than that, you know, we do the same things every week.
Matt, you kind of hit on it at the start, but with volleyball going as it is and basketball teams playing well, other sports, is it I don't know if inspiring is the right word, but is it a fun time to be at Baylor?
Well, yeah, and it's been that way since I got here. It's been that way since before I was here, so I want to make sure I say that. You know, it's like the first year we weren't very good, as you well remember, and everyone else was going, you know, I'm going to basketball games, and, you know, we were number one in both men's and women's basketball that first year, and I'm sitting there like, we better start doing our part here now. you know, like we have all the we have head coaches meetings, you know, and you sit there and you look around the room and there's the best of the best are there. And so it just makes you want to do your part. But the other part I'll say is because our building's over there and, you know, downstairs is the cafeteria, and, you know, we don't go in the cafeteria maybe, but, like, I see the kids parking and walking in, or I see them over there. And, you know, like, I put on, like, 30 pounds every season. I just, like, I'm a stressful guy. But I still go down there every day, and I, like, walk on the treadmill or walk on the elliptical. And I see the student-athletes walk back and forth. And just their dedication is unreal. Like we try the track. I watch a track team workout, and just their attention to detail and their unity and their work ethic. I mean, it's really, that's what's inspiring. You know, it's like in the off season, the baseball team's in there and they're working out, or you see kids when they're hurt and they're in rehab every day, and you build a relationship with them, even though they're different sports. You know, how's it coming? You know, and you're getting better, and you see them. You see the grind. And I think that's one of the cool things about the community of sports here with where we're located, that I get to see all these student-athletes. I get to see them, you know, doing all the work that then leads to them having the success that they have. And that, to me, is really cool. And that, to me, is, you know, it reminds me that, like, we're going to play this game, and then we're going to go play in a bowl game or whatever. Like, I'm already planning, like, the spring and the, you know, the off-season program. Like, we have got to continue to grow and evolve and develop. And so you just see that day in and day out. But it's really cool what's happening here, and it happens in all sports.
Matt, you saw it at Temple, too. But with Phil's defense, does it just kind of maybe take a couple of years to really get going? I mean, you guys are 28 takeaways, 40 sacks this year.
Yeah, I mean, it was the year two at Temple. You know, we had to evolve a little bit in terms of what we're doing. The coach had to evolve in terms of getting the best guys on the field. But it's the same players as last year. That's the cool thing, right? I mean, it's Chris Miller, it's Henry Black, it's Jamison Houston. It's pretty much the same players. And they get developed. They get coached, and they accept coaching. And, you know, you can coach all you want. If the player doesn't want to get better or doesn't trust you or doesn't have a relationship with you, it doesn't matter. And you watch them evolve and play their best. And then that's when it takes hold, because the young players know nothing else, right? Like, Garmin Randolph is in the middle of his redshirt year. He knows nothing else other than, oh, this is what we do here. We practice this way, and they learn from the older guys. That was what was great about the game. I mean, we have Matt Jones out there who's redshirting, playing the whole fourth quarter at Mike Linebacker, and he's got, you know, Ross and Terrell Bernard and those guys yelling and screaming at him, you know, make this fit, do this, you know, comes off the field. They're like, you know, they're coaching him. He's in his redshirt year. he's going to play. I think he has one more game left, and then he'll you know, fight for a starting job next year. So it takes time, but once it takes hold, to me, then it's kind of cultural. The guys understand, hey, this is what we're having. And that's kind of where we're at on the offensive line, too. Like, I mean, we got guys, you know, hey, he's the backup at three positions because of injuries. You know, we've kind of moved guys around all year. But once it takes root, you know, in those positions where you're really strong on the offensive and defensive lines, you can be really good. And that's why Oklahoma's so good. They're so good on the offensive and defensive lines as well.
Matt, you mentioned Chris Miller, obviously a big part of your defense. As far as the targeting calls, do you tell him to still be aggressive but be more careful? Or I was wondering how y'all handle that.
Yeah, so he had the first one. He had three different kinds. It wasn't like it was the same thing. So the first one was, I think they call it 913. It was the crown of the helmet. They said he hit with the top of the helmet. It wasn't even flagged on the field. It was review, you know, and it wasn't our conference. And it was right call, right? So we don't want us to hit with the top of our helmet anyway. That's where you get hurt. So we don't want to hit with our helmet. We actually have a company that we use that monitors helmet contact for us, because we're trying to keep our numbers really low. We don't want to make contact with the helmet. And so you know, we use this company, Atavis, and same foot, same shoulder. And so then we said, hey, you know, you got to change that. So then he hits the guy at Oklahoma State and doesn't knock him down. So it wasn't like this big, vicious blow-up hit. Doesn't knock him down, but it is it was, you know, he crouched his head again and hit the guy in the head. So we said, you got to lower your strike zone here. You know what I mean? So we lowered the strike zone. Then the next one, he lowers the strike zone. The guy slides. He hits him. So I think what I said to Chris is, and Phil, so what I said is, I said, Chris, next one, you're done for, I don't know, like, I don't know how long. And sitting out that game really hurt him. You know, he cares about this team so deeply that my challenge to him was, hey, these big blow-up knockout shots you're going for are going to result in you missing games. So we're going to have to be physical, but we're not going to be able to, you know, not, you know, have a big hit, okay? And then I think Phil took it then and then really just drilled it so that he would come in and have a little bit better angle, a little bit better strike zone. The most important thing is keep his head up. And that's you know, the rule, right? I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about the rule. We want to keep players safe, and both the other opposing player and our player. But we take it seriously. Like, we literally, every Sunday, we get a report. This is, you know, our tackling efficiency, things we can do better, but also, most importantly, is the percentage of helmet-to-helmet contact, or helmet contact, because we don't want to make contact with our helmet. And we've had to change that with Chris. You know, yeah, I didn't play him in the second half last week. I was like, okay, he's done. Go stand over there, because we wanted to have him for this week.
How much did that help, or you think it helps Charlie that not only did he not play the second half, but I think he only had one carry other than the sack?
Yeah, we weren't going to carry it. We weren't going to run him, you know, unless need be. And I think last week was really good for, because, you know, he didn't practice on Tuesday. He wanted to practice on Tuesday, but he practiced a little bit on Tuesday. Maybe he practiced on Wednesday. But it was really good for Gary and Zeno. You know, they got a chance to be the guys, run the two-minute drills and practice, all that stuff, and then they got a chance to play in the game. So, you know, we wanted to win, and we wanted to play our best football. We thought running the quarterback was going to be a big part of the game, and so we had a plan to have Gary ready to go, and we also knew it was going to be 20-mile-an-hour winds. I mean, the wind was unreal, you know, to throw the ball the way we did. You know, I mean, it was impressive by those guys with the wind and all that. So, I'm glad he's, you know, be able to play that game, play really well. Denzel didn't play in the second half. The D-line didn't play in the second half. Chris didn't play in the second half. Some positions, we needed guys to play in the second half. It was really good for our young players to have a chance to play. I was happy that a lot of guys who have grinded all year long have had a chance to play.
Do you think Bohannon has a real good future?
I think Gary Bohannon's going to be an amazing quarterback for us. And I think the same thing about Zeno. You know, I think they both they both have great arms. They both can run. But most importantly, they're both tough and really, really loyal guys. Like, I'm going to walk in that building later today, and this is their day off, and I don't monitor it. But I can promise you that Garrett McGuire, I'll probably have 50 text messages from Garrett McGuire about this should be in, this should be in, you should be doing this. Gary Bohannon, Zeno, those guys, Bo Brewer. I mean, we have guys come in and prepare at the highest levels on their own. And I want to make sure I say this. The reason why we are having the success we're having is because of the guys who don't play. You know, like the guys on our scout teams. We have this kid, Colby White. He played Jalen Reagor 2 weeks ago, and last week he played Puka. And literally, I could have made a highlight film for him, from him making guys, you know, miss tackles. I mean, he's you know, and he walked on here. And I told him the other day in the team meeting, I said, he's going to end up playing here. You know, so, playing. He's going to be a really good player for us. But it's all the guys on the scout teams, to me, that do a great job. But I love the quarterbacks because I love their preparation, and I think they both have tremendous talent. And, you know, they've had a chance to play this year, which, you know, it takes a lot of quarterbacks to play in college football nowadays.
Did you have any trouble recruiting them?
Well, it wasn't easy. They made it hard. I mean, Gary, you know, he's coming from Arkansas. You know, he had a lot of opportunities to go a lot of different places. But kind of what we talked about. Everybody did, yeah. I mean, he had a lot of offers. And then Jacob was an Elite 11 player, and he had a lot of opportunities. But I think that they both saw, you know, sometimes when you're quarterbacks, you want to play so much. And that's why you see a lot of guys transfer real quickly. I'm not playing. To me, only one quarterback can play at a time, but you can be getting developed. And so if you want to go be an NFL player, you better go somewhere as a quarterback that's going to develop you into a complete and total player. And that development happens while you're not playing. Now, you need to play at some point, don't get me wrong. But for Gary's redshirt year last year, he got developed. And Glenn did an amazing job with him. He's so much further ahead than where he was. And then you watch Zeno, right? Zeno got out there and whipped that ball to J-Red. It threw a rope. And you see their level of development. They're getting developed even while Charlie's a starter, and they're improving. So when it is their time, they'll both play at really a really high level. And then when the time comes to go to the NFL, those guys will hopefully be NFL players because of the things that they're doing now as freshmen and sophomores that no one sees. And that's why I mentioned our scout teams. That's the message for our team as we sit here with some gratitude about the season we've had. You know, it's all those players that we had three players show up on Friday that weren't even traveling. We had, you know, Will Williams, Hakeem Vance, and Neandre Zuzwa. They weren't traveling, and they showed up to practice just to help before we got on the plane and left. I mean, you don't see that very often. And so there's just a lot of people that have committed to sacrificing to being a part of the team that's allowed us to have success.